Welcome to Bouncing Back Stronger, the podcast where we explore the incredible power of you. Resilience, personal growth, and triumph over adversity. I'm your host, Sarah Jane Vasquez, and I'm thrilled to have you here. Each week, we'll delve into inspiring personal stories, we'll share practical strategies for growth, and provide valuable insights from my own expert experience and as a trained therapist, hypnotherapist, and mindset coach. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools to bounce back stronger than ever before. And if you enjoy the show, please press follow. We'd really appreciate your help and your support here at Bouncing Back Stronger. Now, let's get started. Welcome to another episode of Bouncing Back Stronger. Today, we will talk with Mo Bailey, who is a hypnotherapist and painter. But that's something we'll talk about later. Now, I'm really excited today because I'm also a hypnotherapist. And as yet, I have not spoken to anyone in this area of therapy. So without further ado, welcome, Mo.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. It's nice to be here.
It's lovely to have you here. So to start us off, Mo, usually what I say is, you know, where did all this start for you in terms of the hypnotherapy work? I also know that you are a Pilates instructor as
That's
well.
That's right. Yes.
So there is a very kind of holistic approach in the things that you do in your work.
So I started as a hypnotherapist because, as you said, I'm a Pilates instructor. I also teach yoga and meditation. And obviously, within that realm, the mind comes into everything. And I often found myself sort of being a therapist to my clients, especially on the in the one-to-one lessons. So within that time when I was probably not, want for a better word, not in a really great place, and also wanting to help out a family member, having been a meditation, still am a meditation teacher, but obviously with the interest in the mind, I then decided to explore hypnotherapy, and I had some myself to help myself at that time. So when I looked into all of this and obviously spoke to people, read every book I could find, you know, trawled the internet, the usual stuff that we do, I decided that the best way I could really help do all the things I wanted to do was to really study hypnotherapy. And after having hypnotherapy myself, I realized that this was the missing link to what I needed to do in order to help myself, help a family member, but also to, to help people. It's fine giving advice, but that's not actually what therapists do. So I realized
it's like
that.
How could you get really in deep? How could you really get underneath? And it's interesting because I became a hypnotherapist through chance, really. I didn't realize when I signed up for my psychotherapy course diploma that we had to, as part of it, do hypnotherapy for the first year. And I must admit, I was thinking, why do I want to do hypnotherapy? I don't want to do hypnotherapy. And maybe because my beliefs were related to stage hypnotherapy that I'd seen on holiday or things like that. Now I am so thankful that it was part of the course because of the absolute power and change hypnotherapy can make.
Yes. There is a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings about what hypnotherapy is. And I think that's one of the battles we have is it is sort of in a way glamorized and seen as something that's quite, I don't want to use the word spooky, but out there, but it is very natural occurrence. I mean, hypnosis is, as you know, a natural occurrence where we then just guide you know, our client into a state where they can find the solutions for themselves. But it is, like you said, very, very powerful, but misunderstood. And yes, when I started, it was amazing the results that I got. And, you know, the client was amazed as well, because it's almost as if, well, I've not done much here. But obviously behind the scenes, the subconscious mind is at work all the time. So yes, it's very powerful, very effective. And I think probably the biggest challenge that we have as hypnotherapists is sort of debunking all these myths and misunderstandings that it's, you know, some kind of eerie therapy where we get into the heads of the clients and, you know, get them to do whatever we want them to do, which is totally, totally wrong. You know,
I think master, you're going to, you know, make me run around the room like a chicken. Totally not. I will not do that to you, I promise.
Yeah.
So let's, for the sake of our listeners, just define exactly what hypnotherapy is. You know, I always kind of split it into hypno and therapy.
Yes. Yeah. So when someone goes, well, what is it? That's what I say. So it's doing therapy, but by using hypnosis. And then I'll explain hypnosis, what hypnosis is. And basically, as we know, it's a daydream state. Hypnosis is just an altered awareness where you are in a very relaxed state, where we can access the subconscious mind, where changes take place. So I find that usually when I give the example of daydreaming, and as we know, hypnosis can be done with your eyes open. You don't have to have your eyes closed, as you do when you daydream, right? You can look out the window and be transported, you know, into the future, back into the past, and your eyes are open, hopefully. And or even driving in the car. That's a great example, I think.
And
you know, you get in the car.
You're just in your own world, aren't you?
Exactly.
Or have you ever done it where you're actually talking to somebody and then something's come into your mind and you started to think about this thing, and you are like fixated on it, not as I mean an overthinking thing. I mean, as something you've just gone off, you know, you've just, something's caught your eye, you're just staring at something. And then someone will say, are you listening to me? They're like, oh no, gosh, sorry, I was miles away. I was miles away.
Idea. And people usually then get it. They understand it. But I think one of the things that clients struggle with is understanding that change can take place, you know, simply through a conversation, but obviously guided by us in a way that allows them to access their subconscious rather than consciously thinking about it. But we know obviously what is conscious thinking and what is subconscious thinking. So,
well, I also like to show the iceberg model. You know, on the top where we can see the iceberg is our conscious mind, and underneath is our subconscious mind, and this is bigger, you know, the bottom of the iceberg is bigger, because this is where we hold all our memories, this is where we hold all our habits, our beliefs, and only really by accessing this subconscious can we change any of these beliefs or these habits that perhaps we want to change to then influence the conscious.
Yes.
Because, for example, I always think of, you know, for all the will in the world, willpower is our logic brain, is in our conscious mind. And if I say, you know, no, you're not having that piece of cake today. No, 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 no. My unconscious mind is at play. And my unconscious mind will be giving all of these excuses or phrases and things that I've used in my past. So, oh, it's only a piece of cake. Oh, you'll be fine. Oh, no one will know, you know, and that will always override your conscience unless we can change it.
Yeah, because there is a different intention behind, you know, we all know that the intention behind the behavior is subconscious. We don't know it, because if we knew it, it wouldn't be a problem.
Exactly.
But, you know, there is always something driving a behavior. And I guess that's why hypnosis is so powerful, in that That's what we work with. We are working with the subconscious to understand the intention behind it. But we know that the subconscious doesn't factor in quality of life. So, you know, it might tell us, oh, it's all right to have that extra piece of cake. Where really it isn't, mm-hmm. but it's doing it because it's keeping you happy. It's keeping you safe, which mm-hmm. is the role of the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. So figuring that out, I think is, you know, it can be hard. Like you said, willpower, people think, well, you know, if I only had the willpower, but it really isn't that. If it was that simple.
Well, we link a lot of emotions to things, and emotion or feeling is always going to win over logic, because quite often it's the feeling of something that we want, not necessarily that chocolate cake.
Yeah.
I want the feeling that in my subconscious I think I will get if I eat the chocolate cake. Really, I can discover through hypnosis that I can have that feeling without that chocolate cake.
Absolutely. And I guess if once that's acknowledged, then by the subconscious, then, you know, the subconscious can look for a different, healthier way of satisfying that feeling. Mm-hmm. And it's something we all struggle with. So, you know, we all do, whether we have weight issues or not, we know what's healthy for us and what's not. But very, very interesting, I think, mm-hmm. when you get into the nitty gritties of, you know, why you cannot restrain yourself from that piece of cake or that glass of wine. Mm-hmm. Or for example, in my instance, crisp, I can chomp through a whole bag of crisp within, you know, 10 minutes. So that's one I need to figure out.
Yeah. Quite often really good at telling everybody else, but we do need to take our own medicine here. What if though somebody says to you, which I've had, I don't think I could be hypnotized. Oh no, I've had it before. No, it's not worked.
Yes. Okay. So like you, I've had a few clients that have I've been quite skeptical, and I guess rightly so. If they've, you know, gone to someone and they've not received what they were thinking they should have received. So I think it's really important to say, firstly, everyone can be hypnotized if they want to be. Mm-hmm. So if they go in with the attitude, come to you with the attitude of no, then nothing's going to work. Doesn't matter what you say to them. But fundamentally, if you can daydream, if you can imagine, picture, see, sense, then you can be hypnotized. But if you, it's like anything, if you don't want to be, you've gone in with the intention, this isn't going to work. So you'll do everything to stop yourself relaxing and getting into the state. But
Well, I know I did have one client who wanted to give up smoking. And in the beginning, he said to me, I don't think you'll be able to hypnotize me. I just don't think I'm hypnotizable. You know, I've done this before. But actually, his need for giving up the smoking was really powerful. He wanted to give up smoking. So he was at the point where he would try anything. So he did say, I'm not sure if it'll work, but I want it to work. You know, so just saying that, even though perhaps he was skeptical, he wanted the outcome so badly that he immersed himself in it.
Yeah.
You know, and the outcome was he did stop smoking. Yeah. Don't know how he's doing now, but he did stop smoking.
I mean, I understand, I get it when people think, oh, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. But I always try to make it clear that your intention for anything, anything in life, is what is behind a lot of times whether it will work or not. So I think, you know, anyone who's skeptical is, if you can daydream, which I'm positive we all can. Yeah. You know, that's the role that we do it so automatically that we don't think it's a skill.
Yeah, even if you said to someone, what would you do if you won the lottery?
Yeah.
You can immediately see that their eyes, you know, go to the side, they look up and they will say, oh, well, I would do this, I would do this. And that is visual, you know, and yeah, looking into the future, you're building a picture. You can yeah. see something in the same way that hypnotherapy works, you know, on the level. So yeah, so it's just having that kind of open mindedness and to realize that you have done it before.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And it is how much you actually want that thing. You know, there's a commitment with everything, isn't there? Even someone comes to therapy or a coaching program. Yeah, all I ever ask is, you know, are you committed to this?
Yeah.
Because there's a two-way process and it takes responsibility.
Absolutely. That's the other thing is it is the client's responsibility, and as much as we want to help someone, we only guide and facilitate those changes. You know, they have to want it themselves. And if they're coming on because they're trying to please someone else, you know, keep their husband and wife quiet, it's not going to work. They have to want to come for themselves, and they will get results. They will get results. There's no doubt about that. As long as the intention is that they want, you know, they want to come and they want results, and they're taking responsibility for that. And that might sound quite strict, but I think it's really important. You know, if someone's going to spend money with you and spend that time with you, I mean, no one wants to waste money. No one wants to waste anyone's time. Yeah. So, you know, being responsible for that is key. And I'm quite strict when I speak to people about that. So, you know, do you want this? Are you willing? Like you said, you've got to be committed, because it will work. It is so powerful. And it's so... what's that word? It's been around for so long. And that's the other thing. We think it's something new, but it's not. It's been around forever.
It's centuries, hasn't it?
Yeah.
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 It has. So you also, is this where did the hypnotherapy come from, the meditation practice? Because meditation is another way to calm the mind and to calm the thinking.
Yeah. So meditation uses the right side of the brain. It taps into the same wavelengths that you would use in hypnosis. And having meditated now for, how old am I now? over 20 years, there is that similarity. So often in hypnosis, depending on what I'm doing with the client, I may just meditate with them first, just to say, let's just relax.
Because this is one thing that's come up for me is I've been asked, how is it different? How is hypnosis different to a guided meditation?
Okay, so guided meditation is just you guiding a client to a relaxed state. You're not doing any therapy.
Yeah.
You know, you may be dependent on the meditation. Now I do general meditations, or I may, depending on the group I'm and that, you know, what we've discussed, I may be talking about a specific subject. It is all about inner peace at the end of the day, and just guiding that client to understand the power of being present, the power of being mindful of the present moment, and how that stops us from, you know, thinking too much about the future, what's going to happen, or living in the past. So a guided meditation is not therapy in the sense that we do therapy. Yeah. In hypnosis or hypnotherapy, we guide the client into this state, and from that state, we initiate the therapy, or maybe vice versa. It depends which approach you're going to take. The client, as you know, we can talk to the client. They may go into those subconscious, unconscious moments, and that's sort of your work done for you, in that they are already there, and you know that's your cue for you to do the therapy. So, you know, hypnotherapy is very different. You are actually doing therapy.
Yes, and you're tailoring it, aren't you, to the actual client? So when a client first comes to see me, it's you know, a therapy session, first of all, it's a talk therapy session. It's to put into context what the client is looking for, what the outcome is that they want. And then I then need to gather information from the client, you know, to build up that picture. And I guess to pinpoint ways of where I'm going to feed into, you know, the hypnotherapy, what's the the script, as we say, you know, as we call it, you know, what's that going to look like? How am I best going to tap in? And we also talk about things in hypnotherapy, such as, you know, safe spaces, don't we? You know, that idea of calm, or, you know, where, yeah, where you're safe.
Yeah.
Which is a really nice, which is a really nice part of hypnotherapy.
It is. It's a very relaxing experience. And often clients will ask, well, you know, what am I going to experience? And I think once we explain, you know, what it is that's going to happen, I find that, you know, clients relax. Okay, it's not anything spooky or eerie or any of that. It is a very relaxing experience, because all it is they're switching off the conscious mind for a bit and relaxing the body, which will tell the mind that it's safe, and they're, you know, they can relax and they're safe. And that's when changes take place, because they're much more open then, without the critical and analytical mind jumping in and saying all sorts of things, as we know. So yeah, it's very powerful. It's a state that I think when people understand, there isn't really much for them to do, and there's nothing to be afraid of, then big changes take place.
And I like to use sometimes an anchor within the hypnotherapy, because I think that the clients can use this anchor after the sessions, you know, or in between sessions, something like that. Can you explain to us, Mo, what I'm meaning by anchor, and how do you use them?
Okay, so an anchor, like if you think of a boat anchor, if you drop the anchor of a boat, it holds you in place. And an anchor in hypnotherapy is often used to connect you to a feeling or a state that you want to be in. So if you are upset, for example, about, I know it could be anything. So say you had an argument, you recalled that argument and it made you upset, it brought back bad memories. What you can do to change your state is to create an anchor. So in order to do that, you bring that memory to mind and you fully immerse in it. So it may be you say to a client, right, I want you to, you know, bring that happy memory to mind. I want you to picture this in your head in full technicolor. I want you to experience it. I want you to think about if there was any smells, sounds, voices, anything that can bring that memory into full bloom, if you like, you know, as if it's happening now. And at the height of that, they will make this physical connection, which then when they repeat that physical act will bring that memory or that feeling to mind, which is a quick way of changing state. So if we were doing it now, I would get you probably to, and this is very common, to press together your index finger and thumb at the height of when you're fully immersed in that happy, joyful memory. And that anchors that scene, that memory, hopefully in your mind. So next time when you're in a state where you really do not like where you are and you want to change states quickly, you can press your finger and thumb together, and hopefully that will bring that happy memory into mind and into your body. So it's just a way of changing state.
Pattern of thinking.
I mean, it's a bit like I always say to people, and they don't understand that. I don't know whether I should say this on air, actually, but it's a bit like when someone's hysterical and you're wanting, we've seen this in movies, and they're really hysterical, and it's usually husband and wife or mom. And, you know, they get a slap across the face and suddenly they come to. So, all right, it's not as abrupt as that, but basically.
A glass of water.
A glass of water, and suddenly they're like, oh, right, okay. It's a way of changing state in, a, I guess, a much more kinder, softer way. But anchors can be set for anything.
I think they're really useful.
They are. And it's getting into, it's a nice technique, I think, to teach someone to set an anchor. And you can use anything. It could be, I want you to think of the color yellow. and you can set an anchor visually that way. Mm-hmm. Or I want you to remember a song. Mm-hmm. So there's many different things that you can do to help a client change state, because essentially, you know, that's what we're doing. We're helping them change state.
And that's actually entwined, isn't it, into the hypnosis at the time, because quite often, I mean, I'm guilty of this. I think to myself, maybe I was having a down moment, you know, something had gone over me, and maybe I just went and, I sat and moped for a little bit or something. And later I'll think to myself, why didn't you go and do this? Or why didn't you get yourself outside? Or, you know, it's sometimes you, maybe because it's not habitual yet, it's sometimes difficult to change your state yourself. You're just not in that zone. Whereas if it's already been made a suggestion to you and it's now in your subconscious, then it comes to you quite naturally. So something you don't even have to think about.
Yeah.
It will just, you know, you said about the yellow. Oh, here we go. Let's think about yellow.
Yeah. So that physical movement you do, or maybe it's pinching your ear or whatever it is, will connect you to that memory that you've anchored. And it takes a bit of practice, but it's, I think, very, very powerful. You know, I've had clients come back saying, oh, yeah, I did this and I remembered, you know, brought to mind a happy scene. I mean, it could be a joke you've told to a friend. It could be thinking about someone who makes you laugh. It could be anything, really. You know, it's, the possibilities are endless with anchors, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I do too. And I know that last time we talked a little bit about the pace of life. So I think both hypnosis and meditation give that opportunity to take a step back. And very much, even in my program, very much all about taking that pause, having that break, get off that hamster wheel. You know, so that's all, I think, part and parcel of both practices.
Giving
yourself that inner peace.
I think the way we live these days is everything's happening so quick. And a lot of anxiety and stress people experience is because, you know, we're so used to everything happening this minute, if not yesterday. And when it doesn't happen, when we think it should happen, and we're constantly on the go, we're constantly planning the next minute, and there is no breather. And I don't think we were made this way to be running 24/7. So meditation is a very, very powerful practice to connect with that quiet place inside of you, with that place that has the answers. So, you know, the similarities with hypnosis is your subconscious holds all the answers, all the solutions. And we as hypnotherapists, that's our job to guide, you know, our client to that place where they find the solutions. It's not us giving them the answers.
Yeah.
That part of the mind is so powerful, but we don't connect to it. And people often say, well, I can relax, I go to sleep. But that's not the same thing. Because when you're in meditation, you're not actually asleep. Now, you can fall asleep, as you can fall asleep in hypnosis, but we just want to change our state to a very relaxed one. And ideally, so if you fall asleep, that's fine. But if you are in a state where you're completely relaxed but focused, that's where, you know, that's where we do the most work, where we can do the most effective work. But definitely being present is very, very important, so that we don't start blaming other people or finding ourselves stuck, because it's our responsibility. Our mind is completely our responsibility, and how it works or doesn't work. And taking the time to nurture your mind like you would do with your body. You go to the gym, you don't go to the gym once and think, right, that's it. You do your meditation daily. You practice mindfulness daily, if not daily, you know, a regular practice weekly, so that you can be in a place where basically you see the bigger picture.
I think that's so important. It's a great way to put it, that we would exercise daily to see results. Mm-hmm. And yet, and I've been guilty of this as well, but I've thought, well, I've done meditation and I've done this, I've been mindful and nothing's happened. It's not worked. I've done some journaling, but I haven't been consistent in my practice.
Yeah.
So if I actually thought about it at the time, I thought, if you were like this with your, you know, your gym regime or your running regime, where would you really be, quite honestly with you? I think that's a lot for a lot of things. So if we can't physically see it, we don't give it as much value. So for example, if someone has a broken leg, I can see you've got a broken leg, and you know, you would look after yourself, you would make sure that, you know, you're not walking on it, you would be attending your appointments. Mm-hmm. If somebody is suffering with you know, like depression, anxiety, we're almost just of the ilk because we can't see it. It's like, just get on with it.
Yeah.
Get out of bed, or, you know, get dressed, or you know, you should just be like, you know, you shouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
Far more critical and much less understanding of this situation, and also far less likely to invest in it.
Yeah. There is definitely a lack of balance between our physical health and our mental health. Mm. And as much as I, you know, I'm the same. I mean, I can have days where I think, all right, I've done it, but now over 20 years, I'm not saying it will take you 20 years. It's the effects of meditation or hypnosis are ongoing. Once you understand that there's a part of the mind that you can really truly tap into for solutions, if you practice 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, it's going to make all these subtle changes and will give you that break, that space to step back and reflect, you know, in those 5 minutes before you, you know, lose it with someone. And we all have, we're, you know, it's not to say you'll be that peaceful, calm person 24/7. No, it means that it gives you that space in which you can become more calmer, more at peace.
And it's where and it's in that space is the magic that can happen. And as we said, we're not perfect. We're not robots.
No.
It's not always going to be like that, but at least give yourself the opportunities, or at least improve on what's gone before and what didn't really work. And I love what, like, James Clear says in his book Atomic Habits, about even if you do 5 minutes a day, well, over a week, you know, you've done over half an hour.
It
stacks up.
It does.
And it will make an impact.
It does. It absolutely does. And, you know, it's not about, you know, your mind is the one thing that, I know people say, well, I can't control my mind. And you've got to ask them, well, who is? Because no one's holding a gun to your head to say you've got to think these thoughts, you've got to, you know, dwell on this thought or this story. And as harsh as that might sound, and I obviously don't say that, but what I'm trying to give an example of is, you are absolutely in control of your mind. Now, it's understanding why we choose not to.
That's it. There's other reasons deeper down, isn't it?
Exactly, which is the work we do, is to uncover the reasons why. You know, why are we dwelling on this? What is it? So even if you're choosing not to dwell on it, why are you going back to it? So consciously, you're aware that, well, dwelling on this is no good for my mental health, for my physical health. So why am I consistently going over this story again and again and again? Often, as we know, there will be a reason for that. And it's until, you know, we delve into that, that we know that until we do that, and we help the client understand, right, the reason why your mind is bringing you back to this is because of this, then they've learned the lesson, they can let go of the emotions, and they can move on. And they find that they can recall maybe this memory, but they don't go into it so much now. It doesn't have that emotional attachment, and it doesn't bring them the same sort of guilt, whatever emotions, feelings of sadness, anything like that. And that's the work that we do, is that, you know, we guide the client to that so they understand. And everything is a lesson in life. Everything is a lesson.
That's a huge part of my work. I work with clients who are binging, you know, binge drinking or binge eating, binge spending, in really an attempt to make themselves feel better in a certain situation. They're not comfortable with what's going on at present moment or with themselves or with their emotions. Quite often they see that the binging is the problem.
Yes.
Actually, once we do the work, that's not the problem at all. No. That's just a symptom of something that's going on underneath. Yeah. Once we can uncover the root cause, I see it as like, you know, the tree, the roots of a tree. Once we can kind of uncover that, which is quite often as well below ground, there's our subconscious level, you know. Once we delve into that area, then we can allow growth tree.
Yeah,
you know, I quite often like to use that as a metaphor.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good one because I guess, you know, we all know what a tree looks like and that it has roots. Often, so the things we deal with when people come are just symptoms. And even in my niche, which is helping women break the cycle of unhealthy relationships, people will, when I say people, I mainly work with women. I do work with men as well, but it's the same thing. It's, you know, why do we let someone treat us this way? And it all comes down to there to self-worth, knowing yourself, valuing yourself, loving and appreciating who you are. Because if we really did, we wouldn't allow someone to treat us like that. We wouldn't accept that behavior. You know,
it's so, like your self-worth and your self-esteem as well. You know, you may hire someone in high self-esteem. Well, great, that's about that person. How do you hold yourself?
Exactly.
What do you think of yourself? And I know this is kind of cliched now, and I've probably mentioned it on the podcast a few times, but the idea of would you talk to or would you treat your best friend or, you know, someone you really love in the way that you treat yourself? And quite often the answer that comes back is absolutely not.
Why
do we do that to ourselves?
It's
becoming aware, isn't it? Becoming aware of that and working with it.
It's you know, all our behaviors, as you know, are, or 95%, I don't know what the figure is, 95-97% of our behavior is subconscious, and behaviors are learned. They're all learned. And, you know, the more we do it, the more we know how to do it automatically. So understanding that is difficult because we all think, well, I consciously did that. Well, no, you didn't. You unconsciously did it because you've learned how to do this. You've learned anxiety. You've learned to deal with this emotion this way.
Yeah.
And you think that's the problem, but it isn't. So yes, there is a lot to say, I think, for hypnotherapy, and that's what we delve into and uncover. And the mind is so powerful, and you have to treat it with respect. You have to.
And it has the power to change. You know,
some people
will say, I've always been like this, or this is me, this is what I do. Yeah,
I've always been an anxious person. No, you haven't. You weren't born that way.
Exactly. But you can change if you're willing to change, if you're willing. And we quite often looking for a quick fix. Well, to be honest, you've learned this behavior over a number of years. It's going to take a little time to unlearn this behavior and to learn new ones.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it sounds like hard work, and in some respects it is, in that you need the intention to do it. But if you've got the intention to do it, then anything is possible.
Yeah.
And I really believe that intention lies behind everything. Doesn't matter what you do. If you've got that there, and you know, come to us for whatever it is you may have an issue with, you know, you're going to get results. You're going to get results, and they are going to last, and you don't need to be in therapy for years, because no one wants to be in therapy for years, right?
No.
I certainly didn't want to be in therapy for years.
I'll always have my therapist, though. I just don't go all the time, every month. Obviously, there was a time that I was there weekly. And, you know, now I'd say, I don't know, it's as and when.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel it's quite nice to still go and have that check-in, really. It's a reminder to check in with myself.
So, yeah.
And as I said, I would still go to yoga classes or strength classes. So it's kind of me just keeping a check on me.
Yeah.
And especially perhaps in this industry, when we do absorb a lot of other people's problems and issues, and we really want to help, that's our nature.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's nice just to go and say, oh, well, how am I in all of this?
That happens in, you know, clients that may, I had a lady who had a fear of flying, and she was fine on the flight. She managed to control her anxiety. She got through, it was the best flight ever. Then the following year she came, she goes, I think I need you to just come back for a top up. And, mm-hmm. and that's perfectly fine. It's not, you know, there's nothing set in stone to say you can't do that. We're all different. We see the world so differently. And if that's the case, you know, that's great. But I would encourage everyone to meditate. I really would.
Yeah,
I do. So,
and before I let you go, Mo, another one that I wanted to touch on was, you said that you've just recently picked up your art again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you have always enjoyed you know, being an artist and painting, but you said to yourself, perhaps, you know, a couple of months ago, yeah, I've always wanted to do this as a business. Well, it's now or never. I'm of a certain age.
Yeah.
When am I exactly going to do it? Which I think we should ask ourselves, no matter what age we are. Why are we waiting? What are we actually waiting for? I don't think you have to be older, no, or, you know, just go and do it if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
And we did have a little discussion before we were started to record. But that idea that, because I immediately said to you, didn't I? Oh, art therapy. You know, I've heard so much about it, and I love the idea that you can just immerse yourself, and that's how you felt about it, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't mention because it's now sort of, it happened a while ago, but art was part of my self-care routine when I was not in a very good place, and this is when I started to realize I'd not done anything for myself. So
which generally happens, that's usually the case, that we just forget we are in those situations.
Exactly. So art is a therapy, because when you are creative, you are using the same part of the mind that you use when you meditate, when you're in hypnosis, and it's a very focused, relaxed state. And you know, I again would encourage anyone who wants to tap in with that side of the mind, if you love art or you know, anything creative, it doesn't have to be painting or you know, your traditional arts, whatever is creative for you will help you tap into that part of your mind that you will use in meditation, in hypnosis. And it can only help you become more aware, and help you, if you do decide to have hypnotherapy, that, you know, it's not alien. You've already done this before. You know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And art is a wonderful way of doing it. You really do. I mean, I could spend all day painting, and I may have frustrated moments, but I call it good frustration. You know, it's creative frustration. It's not the frustration that you would get from losing your job. It's totally different. So tap into whatever helps you switch on the right side of your brain.
And that's the key, isn't it? I think, so if I be curious and open to a lot of things whilst you're maybe starting out, whilst you're looking at what your self-care, I don't know, routine should look like, or what are the things that bring you joy. I often ask clients to write down a list of the things that bring you joy. And if there's something there that maybe you've wanted to try, go and try it, because you just don't know what it is that might totally, you know, become absorbed by you.
Yeah.
We often say to people, don't we, to clients and ourselves, get out for a nice walk, connect with nature, be mindful on your walk, take notice of your surroundings. Why not do that with a paintbrush?
Yeah.
You know, even if you think, oh, I'm no painter, oh, I've not painted.
Yeah, you don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
You really don't have to be perfect. Getting started is one of the most difficult things, but pick it up and soon the brain will switch and you'll find how relaxed you can be.
How in the zone you go.
Yeah, you do. You go into that zone, and before you know it, as we know in hypnosis, time is not a factor. So before you know it, you know, 3 hours have passed, 3 wonderful hours where you've been completely absorbed in creating. And this is exactly how we feel when we're in hypnosis. You know, as you'll know, clients will come round when you bring them out of hypnosis and go, really? It's an hour past already? I felt like 5 minutes. You definitely know you've gone right brain there.
Is that 10 minutes ago? You've had 50 minutes. Like,
yes, oh I know. It's a wonderful feeling when that happens because you know it's great. That's where, you know, you want to be for change to happen. So you're really helping yourself there, and, you know, self-care routine, incorporate all these things, because ultimately, you know, inner peace and having a calm and happy mind is what we all want.
I mean, I know if you can't quite get the paintbrushes out or that doesn't appeal to you, you know, you can get these mindful colouring books now, can't you?
Yeah.
But yeah. I was, my son was colouring the other day at the table, and he just said, "Mummy, will you help me colour?" You know, and so I sat there, and you know what? I didn't really want to colour. I was like, "Well, I've got something to do. I've got to get the tea on or whatever." But I did. I sat there and coloured with him, and I wasn't surprised, but I did take a step back and think, you know, I really enjoyed that. It was just colouring in the lines. What colour shall I do? You know, this colour's nice.
Yeah.
Just doing something. Just something. I can't describe it, you know, that lack of responsibility, almost like being a child again. And we say that, don't we? You know, maybe we try and do those things that you used to enjoy as a child.
Yeah.
You know, why did we stop doing them?
Yeah. Yeah.
When did we all get so serious?
Yeah. When we tap into that, it's because we're not using our logical brain. We're not using that brain that's saying you should be making tea now, or you should be doing this now. We're totally absorbed right brain, and you know, it's incredibly powerful. And
nice to have that switch off, isn't it? Because we're always
on.
You know, we touched on this before with the hamster wheel idea, that we're always on. So, you know, it's do the tea now. Okay, have I put that wash on? Did I do that drying? Did I take this out? Have I phoned so and so? Have I made this booking? And it's so important to just take some time out.
It is. I think you know, this whole concept of doing is, you know, doing for what though? What are we working for exactly?
Something that's come up a lot is, you know, that we are human beings, not human doings.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we take to, when you hit a point in your life, when you experience, you know, some difficulties, some challenges, often this lesson will come about, you know, why am I doing this? You know, is it really worth it? And learning to understand your mind and almost reading yourself, becoming aware, because you can only really change what you're aware of. And if you're not aware because you're unconscious of being conscious, living consciously, being mindful, then, you know, nothing can change. But so that's the power of doing those, doing things like hypnosis, meditation, anything creative, is that you do become very absorbed in that part, and that makes you become much more aware of, I guess, what's important, what's not important, how much we stress over the silly things. And so
puts things into perspective.
Nurture your mind, it's your responsibility.
So we've discussed quite a lot in there, Mo, with hypnosis and meditation. What's one takeaway you would give our listeners today from that conversation?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I would probably say, how you think and how you feel, your mindset, if you like, is your responsibility. Tough love, in other words. So I know it's very easy to blame others. We all do it. We can blame our partners, our children, our best friend, the postman, the government. But at the end of the day, ultimately, how you think, your thoughts and which will determine how you feel, and how you feel determines your behavior, the actions you take, the decisions you make or don't make, determines your life. So when we take responsibility for our mind, then real changes can take place.
Yeah, we can change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's tough love, I know, because it's far easier to blame someone else. And yes, I'm not saying that no one influences. Of course we're influenced, but we can only control how we are. We can't control how someone else acts. Yeah. We can influence, as we all can, but ultimately it's down to choice, our personal choice of what we focus on. And that is it. You are responsible for your mind.
And I agree 100%. Well, thank you very much, Mo.
Oh, you're welcome.
So much there. Really fascinating. Love hypnotherapy. Love talking about the unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Love mindset, meditation, all of these things that we can change. And also with the introduction of art, you know, I joked with you, I'll go and buy my paintbrush, which I may do. You know, there are other things, aren't there, that can bring you joy in life that you just don't seem to do. As I said, I used to love it as a child. Why did I stop?
Yeah.
But Mo, we can, all of your details will be included on the show notes. So if anybody wants to get in touch with you, either hypnotherapy, you know, meditation, you have a Pilates mm-hmm. studio, and also you are selling your art.
I am indeed. You are.
So yes, people can find you there.
Okay.
So thank you very much. And I hope to see you again soon.
Okay, lovely. Thank you too, Sarah.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Bounce It Back Stronger. I hope you've taken lots from this today, either for you or for somebody else. If you'd like to come on the show, you have a personal story, or perhaps you're an expert in a particular field, then please get in touch. You may even wish to work with me on all things linked to changing your beliefs and your behaviours. You'll find all my links in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.